As a parent, and I know that could go a lot of different ways, I'm sure this will be a shocker for you, those that have journeyed down that road or continuing to journey. Have you ever had that, well, dad said, or mom said? And the thing about that statement as a parent, sometimes you hear it being said and sometimes you don't, but you find out about it later. But that statement is that I may or may not have said what they are quoting. Or they may have chosen this out of a statement that was like this. Can I get an amen? And kids, caller, I'm looking at you. Beware, we know. But I may have been quoted at one point or another out of context of the conversation, or partially quoted, or just as bad, at least that the meaning was twisted to something that I didn't really say. Similarly, that's an interesting word, but to say, but similarly, I messed that up. There are times where this happens with Scripture. There are times where we, one way or the other, take the words of Christ and within Scripture and have been found to have misused it. And so we're starting a series this week, up until the time of Advent, where we're going to look at some of the more misused verses in Scripture and really try to dig into what they are saying. And today we're going to look at a specific one within the words of Jesus that are found in John chapter 14. So I invite you to turn with me to John chapter 14, and you'll keep it there. And these are the words of Christ, starting with verse 13. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Now, many read this or have read it at different point or have heard others use this in this way, that if you pray in the name of Jesus, you'll get that job. You'll get that girl. You'll get that car. You'll win the lottery. You'll get whatever you put it out there. Because that's what it says. I mean, if you ask for anything in my name, you'll get it. And it's in red in my Bible. I mean, that means Jesus said it. It must come true. But what if Jesus wasn't exactly saying it that way? Or perhaps we've maybe done what our kids have, and we did as kids, I will admit. We take it and we twist it just a little bit to help ourselves out in our application of what he is saying here. So as we look at that, I want to help us by providing three really simple practices as we read Scripture that should help us find some better understanding in those Scriptures. First thing, we need to understand the context. We need to not just know what that verse says, but who wrote the verse, who it was written to, what's the major theme, what comes before the verse, what follows after the verse, what's God trying to say in context through this author. We need to understand the context because, again, we don't want to just pull a verse out without understanding the what is going on here, because I think we've all done this at one point or another. Maybe not even intentionally, but we remember the verse, and so we just kind of claim it out there. So we need to understand the context. Secondly, we want to interpret Scripture alongside other Scripture. That, in other words, the best way to understand sometimes a passage and what is being said is to put it alongside what Scripture says about that thing in other places. That we shouldn't just take one verse and stop there and say, well, that's what I'm going to build everything about, everything I believe on, but that we take that verse and we put it alongside what other verses say about that theme or thing or context, so that what we do is we build our theology and understanding of Scripture and what it's being said alongside the other inconsistency of 66 books of Scripture by somewhere around 40 authors, all inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we understand the context. We use all of Scripture to balance and understand Scripture. And then, and maybe most importantly, we apply what we learn. The Bible is not just a book to be read. It's not just a book to be taken in and just we're consuming information. As much as it is God's letter to us on how to live within the context of Himself. That we need to take the Scriptures and allow them to apply and mold and God to transform us through His Word. So that's what we're going to do over the next several weeks. And I really want to even focus on what we're going to do today with John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. Where it says, you can have whatever you ask for in my name. Because we want to understand and apply what Jesus is saying here. So let's start with the context. You're looking at the book of John, the gospel according to John. It's written by, surprise, John. I know, that seems elementary, but it's important. That as we look at that, well, what's the theme of John? It's that he is trying to help his readers understand that Jesus is the Son of God. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Go to verse 14 of chapter 1. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So as we move from within that larger context of theme and understanding what John is trying to help us understand and portray in the life of Christ, we get to chapter 14. And Jesus is preparing his disciples. He's talking through a lot of different things with his disciples, knowing that he is headed to the cross. Knowing that the resurrection is going to happen, knowing that he will be taken alongside in what his role within this. And he starts talking to his disciples. He says, don't be afraid. It's going to be all right. Because I'm going to go away and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And we all have read it. Some of us sang songs about it at different points. In my house, there are many rooms which will be for you. And I'm going to go prepare it. So don't worry. And if you want to know where I'm going, Thomas asks, well, we don't know. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So when I go away, I've got this great news for you. It's only going to get better. Because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit within you. And you're going to do these things. You think what I've been doing is amazing, but wait till you see what the Holy Spirit does through you. And so we get to verse 12. And he says, you know, as we read this, we have to remember within this passage that Jesus has only been doing what the Father is already working through him in doing. He's doing what the Father has told him to do. And he's reminding them that this isn't just about me willy-nilly doing things, but there's been a purpose. And in fact, as we read this, we need to remember that we are not the main characters in this story. As much as we want to put it, you know, well, I'm going to prepare you a place, so we like to put ourselves in there, and it's good, it's okay that we understand that, but we are not the main character, because when we get to verse 12, Jesus declares he's going to be with the Father, and because of if we have faith in Christ, if we have put our trust and our belief in all that he is doing, we will continue to do what he is doing, and even more. Verse 13. What we've been trying to get up to. And Jesus says, I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that what? What's the purpose? Ha, you get it. What is he going to do? So that the Son may bring glory to the Father. When we ask God in prayer, it's not so that our life gets better. That's not the purpose. When we come to God, it's not so that we can have more money, or so that we can have the dream kitchen that we've always wanted, or so that we can have the car with the leather seats, or the bigger bank accounts. When we read and recognize that we are not the main subject in this text, that God is the main subject, we begin to understand that there's a much different purpose in our prayers and in how we bring these things to God, because the purpose for our prayers is different than what many of us realize. The reason God, in what we bring to God in prayer, is so that the Father may be glorified in heaven. That's the purpose. Why does that matter? Because there are a lot of people who have declared, I prayed for it, I believed in it, I listed it, I brought it in Jesus' name, but God didn't do it, therefore he isn't real, he doesn't care, he's not good. I'm done. And so they walk away not fully having encountered who and what God wants to do through them. And God, they walk away because God didn't do what they wanted to do or how they wanted it done. And so, if that's why God answers prayer, we need to understand what we and what the things matter to God when we pray. If the purpose is to glorify God, then we need to take other scriptures and better understand prayer. And so this morning I just want to share four things that matter to God when we pray. The first, and this is not any reference of order really, other than just what I'm bringing to you, your relationships matter. Similar to the John passage But in Mark chapter 11, verse 24, Jesus says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. It's an amazing promise, but you can't stop there. Verse 25. And when you stand praying, when you're standing there praying, if you hold anything against anyone, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to forgive them. The reason, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. When we're praying, if we've got issues with others, as much as it is on you, your job is to have forgiven, to make those relationships right, because your relationships matter to God. And it's not just about people out there in the world. Peter gets a lot more personal in 1 Peter chapter 3. He says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect so that nothing will hinder your prayers. How we live with others in relationship with those around us matters to God. Second, your motives matter to God. James, the brother of Jesus, writes in his letter in chapter 4, verse 3, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives. Often Jesus pointed out the Pharisees, and they had, in his mind and understanding, the wrong motives. He says they pray on the corner loudly so other people will see them. They wanted to be heard. They stand on the street corners declaring, "Dear God, Father in heaven," in these big, extravagant words. They say, "Oh God, I thank you that I'm not like the Gentile, the slave, or the woman." And God's saying, "You're getting this wrong." But we're all susceptible to this as far as motive is concerned. Proverbs 16:2 says, all a person's ways seem pure to them, but the motives are weighed not by themselves, but by the Lord. Your relationships matter. Your motives matter when you go to God in prayer. But also your faith matters when you pray. James chapter 1, verse 6 says it this way, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Your faith moves the heart of God. Your faith matters to God. In fact, Mark chapter 9, we read about two blind men who were before Jesus. And they're kind of declaring to him, and while the disciples are trying to push them off, and they're just declaring, "Have mercy on us, Jesus, son of David. Have mercy on us." And the scripture says that he called him and says, "What do you want?" And he said, and they want to have their sight. And he says, "According to your faith." After he touches their eyes, he says, "Let it be done to you." And their sight was fully restored. Your faith matters to God. So if you're taking really good notes, you've heard this. If my relationships are good, and if my motives are pure, and if I have enough faith, well, then God has to do whatever I ask. I hear the nervous laughter. When we believe that, what happens is we slip into what many will call a prosperity gospel. Others call it name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, see it and be it. You can use any of those phrases. You know, I want that car in Jesus' name, and I'm confessing it's going to be mine, because if I just have enough faith, it's got to be done. In other words, it's up to me. And I recognize that there are some preachers out there saying these things. And that's why this is really serious. If I just have enough faith, if I have pure motives, well, then God has to. He's my magic genie, essentially. I've got to get out what I ordered. But the thing is, we need to understand that God's will matters. That God is sovereign. His goodness, his character, his eternal plan, God's will matters. I'm not saying he's out there moving the pieces and different things. That's not what I'm necessarily saying, because we understand that man has a choice. But the same John who quoted Jesus' words in chapter 14, also in his letter in chapter 5, says, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God. That if we ask according to anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. We can't just pray for anything we want and demand it from God. That makes us God, not him. It's not according to my will, my desires, my likes, my dislikes. It's according to him. If we understand that, suddenly John 14 makes more sense. As we read this, Jesus says, you can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. In his name. Not in my name. In his name. In other words, we're going to ask the Father. We're using Jesus' name. Then we're asking when we need to ask something according to the will of God, or we begin to discredit the name in which we ask for these things in prayer. When my kids say, well, Dad said, they're not just quoting me, they're using the title, the authority behind whatever Dad means. If they really wanted it, it'd be, well, Mom said, we understand this, but my authority goes with that statement of, well, Dad said. Now, luckily, Mom and Dad have a good enough relationship usually to know, well, Dad wouldn't have said that. Or, well, let's go ask him. Let's go talk. But in the same way, when we go before God and we use the name of Jesus, we really need to understand that we have access to the creator of the universe because Jesus has given us permission to ask in his name. That we go on behalf of him, that because of what Jesus did on the cross by coming from heaven and you know, in the Word was the beginning, and the beginning was the Word. And he fully dwelled on this with us. And he dies on the cross. He's raised from the grave. He's gone before us. That because of that and what he is, we have permission to go before the Father. We have the privilege of bearing the name of Jesus, which is a huge responsibility and blessing. I have the privilege to enter into the throne of grace because of who Jesus is and what he did, not because of how good or I am or what I think of myself. Therefore, prayer isn't just a key to unlock the lock to get myself what I want. No, as I become more understanding of who God is and what Jesus does, it changes me. It should mold me so that I desire the same things. That I come in to the Lord in prayer, honoring Jesus who gave me access. And that should change about everything about how we approach the Father. So here's what happens. We pray, and sometimes God does a miracle. Glory, hallelujah. And sometimes we pray, and it doesn't go exactly like we wanted. The tragedy is when people walk away because God didn't answer in the way that they thought God should. Because if prayer is only a tool for me to get what I want to get, that's an insult to God because that would make God my servant. And God is not my servant. I am his servant. I am not the main character here. God is. And if he doesn't do what I want him to do or in the way I think he should do it, that doesn't lessen who he is. It doesn't wreck my faith either. Because he is God and I am not. My faith is not based on him doing what I demand him to do. My faith is based on the fact that his love sent Christ, sent himself to give his life for me, to do what I could not do. And that changes everything. That changes how I approach the throne of God. Remember, as we ask in his name, it'll be done so that my Father in heaven may be glorified. It's about him. Prayer isn't just to get my wish list accomplished before God. Prayer is the avenue through which I get to know God and I give him the glory. And yes, I may bring requests to him, seeking his blessing, his healing, his provision, that he may receive glory when things are done. Or whether they're not done. It's not just getting him to do what I want to do. It's me getting to understand that my allegiance, my obedience is all before him and not myself. It's me hearing from him and getting to bring him glory through my life and my testimony. The purpose of God answering my prayers isn't so that I get what I want. The purpose is so that he gets the glory. The reason I pray is to submit my will to what he wants. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And with that understanding, I begin to build my faith. That I begin to better understand my relationship. And yes, I hope you pray for big things. I hope that you believe God can answer those. I hope that you trust that he can and will. But even if he doesn't, I trust and I hope that you will continue to put your faith in him. Because your faith doesn't rest on what God does, what you tell him to do. But that your faith rests on his goodness and the fact that Jesus died on the cross and rose again for eternal glory so that you could live with him. And for it's that reason that we put our faith in him. That God is faithful. God gets the glory. It's not about me. In the words of John, you know, may I decrease that he may increase. So as we bring things to the Lord, may he receive the glory. May he receive the honor. Heavenly Father, you are God. I am not. You are Creator. I am created. You are Savior. I have been saved. You are the one I put my trust, hope, and belief in. You are the one that brings joy, peace, love, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are not things that are in and of myself without your Holy Spirit. Your Spirit empowers me to live boldly in your name. And so we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. and lead me into salvation. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you. And so, send us, Lord. May we be faithful. May we be faithful. As we bring things to you, your will, not mine. Amen. Go in peace.